Rabbosai. Our limud of halacha every day is a zchus refua for Yosef Dov Echai lehishtav refua shleim b'kor b'soy shalchoy liYisrael. So we're learning the halachas about inviting a non-Jew for a meal on Pesach and b'frat inviting a non-Jew for the Seder. And we learned that the Torah, min ha-Torah, we darshan hu levado yosa lochem, that the brachos of preparing food are only lochem v'loy la'akum, which means that you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew specifically on Yom Tov. That's quite clear. And then we have various shailas that arise where somebody wants to bring the cleaner, or whether it's a daughter who's got a boyfriend who's not Jewish, or forget, the girlfriend who's not Jewish, and the old lady who wants to bring her carer with her. So we're discussing, what we said was, and this is the nub of the issue, is as follows. Chazal, I'll read you out a few words from the Mishnah Berurah in a minute, but Chazal said, they made a gezeirah, and they said, you cannot invite a goy, because we're worried that you will cook specially for the goy. The chashash is that you will cook a special dish. What's it called? Mark DeLange told me that they had an issue in their house where a goy was invited to a meal on Yom Tov, and they served chicken soup, and the goy said, I'm vegetarian. So the wife said, okay, that's not a problem. He says, I've got some vegetable soup in the fridge. Yeah, and she took out a pot, and she put the vegetable soup in the pot, and she heated up the vegetable soup for the goy on Yom Tov. And that's exactly what Chazal were worried about when they said, don't invite the goy, because, first of all, you will be sheroid se lechabdoi. If you invite the goy, you want to treat him well. You want to make food that suits him. You want to provide him with his needs. That's number one. And secondly, that the chashash is that therefore you might end up not just giving him part of the food that you prepared for your family anyway, not just adding another piece of chicken to the pot for the goy. That's already okay. For instance, avdoi. If a person has a goyish servant, a person has an au pair in the house, a person has a housekeeper who lives with them, then you're allowed to, you're obliged to feed them, and you're allowed to cook for them together with the family. Yeah, in other words, they eat what you eat, but you're not. It's not a situation where you're inviting the goy, and therefore you're cooking specially for him. And that was the chashash, that you will cook a separate pot for him specially. But lahabois, to give him part of the food that you are making for your family, that's all right. Will Clara Shaila, that's another possibility. What happens if you invite a group of 20 goyim? There's a group of non-Jews who are visiting, or whatever it is. You've got some connection with them for whatever reason, and there are more of them than there are of you. So therefore, you're not just adding another piece of chicken to the family food. You're creating a whole pot for them. That we can discuss. But the main point is here, the Mechaba said that you also lahazminoi, that you're not allowed to invite him, shema yarbe bishviloi, in case you will increase for him. But the Mishnah Berurah says that doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you might increase, because increasing for him, if you didn't invite him, for instance, that's going to be okay. Like increasing for your servant, or increase just adding extra food for the goy that you're inviting, if you're allowed to invite him, yeah, in these cases. Says the Mishnah Berurah two things. First of all, the fact that you cook the food Erev Shabbos, and it's already fully cooked, or Erev Yontov rather, and it's already fully cooked, doesn't make any difference, because you can't heat up for him anyway. So therefore, heating up is not going to happen. But the problem is, says the Mishnah Berurah, this is not Shema Yarbe Bishviloi. The Mishnah Berurah says, Pshat in Yarbe Bishviloi is, Yesh Lochush Shema Yavashel Oid Bikdeiro Acheres. That you'll take out another pot, that you'll take out a separate dish, that you'll take out a separate pot in order to cook specifically for the goy. Yeah? Achrei shemazminoi, because I invited him, v'roi te lechabdoi, and therefore I want to treat him well. So for my family, I would have only served, let's say, one meat in this particular yontov meal. I would have served only chicken. I'm inviting this goy, I want to be mechabed him, so I'm going to cook meat and chicken. I'm going to serve two dishes. I'm going to give a choice of two soups, or whatever it is. And the covered the goy, because I've invited him, I feel that I have to treat him well. Right, but a goy who I can invite, and we've got cases, Bliada, which we will discuss, where you can invite the goy, you can have him in your house on Yom Tov at the meal, then there will be ways in which, providing that you're not cooking a separate dish for him, he can eat from the food that you're preparing for the family.
Start with the Torreway, North West London, Wednesday, Dalet Nissan, 2nd of April, Rabbi Shlomi Wise, Shlita, a collection of Pesach Shilas, Part 2. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Cantor, Lechavet Simchon, the son of Moshe Cantor, Neriyo, and Shira Cohen, Shetichia, which took place on Monday. He wrote in Shimon Abayston, with Torah, Shem, Velisilo, Velischus, Ashavurim, Vachayulim, Bamilchamo, Shiach Sudavotahem, Lishalom, Bimheiro.
Morning, everyone. A couple of points before I start. Number one, I'm going to try and race through quite a lot, so please leave all questions, comments, or complaints till after the Shia. I will be happy to answer anything you want to discuss. But please leave it to after the shir. Secondly, as I've always said, I'm not a posuk, so anything I say, I stand by, but please go and ask your own rov. Okay, I'm going to touch upon something that we spoke about last time, but before I do, I want to discuss a little bit about just general approach to Pesach. So people are sometimes surprised, both lechumra and lekula, meaning if you really go in, most people I know don't really learn Hilchos Pesach in depth, I'm sorry to say, and you will come across some surprising things, both as they for stringency and for leniency. People are very surprised when they do learn the halachos. I want to give an example of something which again I said to someone recently, and they found it shocking, but it makes sense. And as I say, this is not something that I said, it's something that's brought in the postgame. That is, and it's just, again, as an illustration, more than, I don't want to talk about kitnius because it just gets flogged like a dead horse, but kitnius is a gezeira or a minag, it's a shaila, but, and we keep it, okay? Look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he explains that anyone who thinks that you can uproot this minag from Am Yisrael, you can just be makel, he says a person doesn't understand the way halacha works and he doesn't have Yerushamayim. He is very strict and very, and there's other people who say similar things. However, having said that, there are a number of poskim who said over the years, as an example, that kitnius is not more strict than chometz. It's not a bugaboo, it's not a scary thing. Kitnius is not more strict than chometz. Chometz is issur d'oraisa, which really has a din of koreis if one eats kazayas g'deichim des pras. Whereas kitnius is not in the Gemara, it's not in the Ge'onim, it's in the Rishonim. And it's even a little bit debated in the earlier Rishonim. And there are a number of poskim who you may be surprised to learn say that in possibly either lekathchila, just fully lekathchila, or in a shas atzera, one could take kitnius flour. So in other words, if you take kitnius that has not been wetted, you could make it into a flour, you could mix it with water, and you could bake it as a sort of a matzah, meaning you could make a corn tortilla for Pesach. You could make a rice bread for Pesach, and this would be allowed as long as you do it under the conditions that you would do for making matzah. So in other words, if I can take on Pesach, and I would not advise this, by the way, but if you're allowed to make a matzah on Pesach, you'd have to take wheat, which you grind into a flour, which you could then add water to, which you have it's a race against time now, and you might be over Isurei Deraisa of even owning chometz, and might eating it, owning chometz. You're allowed to do that on Pesach, so to do this with kidneys, you'd be allowed. So, just to give you some marmakomis, the Prima Godim in Tofim Emdalad, Ishla Avram Siv Kotin Base, he talks about Erev Pesach. Now, he says you can eat matzah made from kidneys, you can eat Erev Pesach. The Stei Chemed and others, the Marashah and others, they say in Chemed is in Chom Tzimatzah Vav Sif Aleph. If you want to find it easier, it's a very long in the Chemed. It's Chelik Ches, and it starts page 235. And he brings down various poskim who understood the Prima Godim actually would allow this on Pesach. Okay, so that might be a question. The Chai Adam says it Mufurish. The Chai Adam is in Klal Kufchav Zayin Sif Aleph. He says Mufurish that the Gezer of Kitnius is not more strict than Chometz. And therefore, you could, if you did it under Pesach conditions, you could make an equivalent of a corn tortilla and eat it on Pesach. Chasam Sofer in Shuva Kufchof Aleph says the same thing, and he talks about how it was a question of the people didn't have what to eat, and there is a separate question, which I won't go into, about in days where there were famines or you know, shortages, and could you be allowed, this is a big machlokes in the poskim, famously, Rav Yitzchak Aharon Spector and others, or Chayyadim others, they allowed when there was a real shortage, but he's saying that that some Rav had instituted this, and he says it's fine, he's fine with it. He says that they must use, sort of like, it has to be under the Pesach conditions, so you have to use cold water, not hot water, like possibly the Ma'adon Yishmor says, Maim Shelonu, it has to be very cold water, and he says, he also thinks you should make a thicker one, because we don't want people getting mixed up between this sort of matzah, in inverted commas, from Kidneys, and a matzah shel mitzvah. We don't want people by mistake eating the wrong thing on Pesach and not being fulfilling their mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah. So he says, make it thicker, so make it obvious that it's a corn cracker type thing rather than a matzah. Okay, this is also in the Shlomo Kluger in Madur Kamen Hayez Hakdama, and it's also brought down by the Stei Chemed in the name of Beis Shmuel HaAchron. This is in Madani Shmuel, page 332. Beis Shmuel HaAchron was the Rav of Posen after Rekiv Eger. And as I say, you can understand, we're not talking about people like myself and not even people greater than me. We're talking about from the Yosei De Olam. And they write this. Now, of course, you have to be very, very careful. You're going to do such a thing, right? You have to be extra careful that there's no shaila of any sort of chomet. You have to make sure this isn't something that you can do just willy-nilly, just very easily. You have to be very, very careful. You're going to do such a thing. However, the point is there, and of course, if there are people with very, very limited diets, I mean, really, you probably could be matter kidney. Someone who has Crohn's, Lolein, or something like that, you probably don't need to come to this level of heter. But they're talking about poverty or whatever. The point I'm trying to make to you is you have to understand that people are like shocked at the idea that maybe there are poskim who say this lekat chila. Some actually say you should do it before Pesach. I think the Shlomo Kluger says you should do it before Pesach, you should do it on Pesach, right? I suppose in case there's a mashu, Shabbat mashu, will be bottled before Pesach. But the point is, some of these places will allow you to do this on Pesach, and as I say, I think it comes as a bit of a surprise to people. Now, just to go back...
Is rising also?
Sorry?
Kidneys also rising?
Rising
like wheat?
Rising, no, so that's exactly kind of put. There is a shayla in Gemara, I think it's Rebbe Minuri. There's a shayla about whether rice is chomets, because there is a certain amount of...
Rising...
Yes, I understand. So this is the point. With most kidneys, you will not see any rising. The one exception or question is a little bit is rice. It has a bit of a gluten factor to it. Many of the gluten-free products use rice flour for that reason. We paskin and the Fila Chachamim, it doesn't really rise, and there's no sirchon. It's not chomet to sirchon, I think the expression is. But no, we don't paskin that way. It doesn't matter. It could be thick. It could be a nice thick kidneyous thing, as long as it's done under matzah conditions. That's the point. Okay, again, I'm not suggesting people now go out and do this, but you know, you have to speak to your rabbanim, but it's the yesod that I'm trying to explain. And that's why when you start understanding, when I talked about sweeteners coming from fermented, from which are not non-edible as they are, etc., I discussed that. Do you understand? It's not a wild chumrah, it's some sort of big chiddush. It's anyway also brought in the Shrus Yaakov, etc. Okay. An aspect which there are some points which all rest on the same sugya, and therefore I'm just going to touch upon it again. I need to explain it again so that everyone understands. There is a sugya in Psochim about achshave, which means that if you take chomet and you make it completely inedible before Pesach, it's not even roi l'achilas kelev, it's not edible, it's not edible as a food. Okay, the Gemara says it's if you do it before Pesach, kodem the issa, but zman issa, so then you can have hanah from this after the Zman Issa, which means that you could have Hanah from it, which normally we would take literally means Hanah, and you can't eat it. You can have Hanah, you can't eat it. This is the Machlokes in the Rishonim. However, the Psak generally in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch is, it's only Mutar B'Hanah, you can't actually eat it. If you eat something which is Chometz, and I stress the word Chometz, not Kidneys, the word Chometz, and it's not edible before Pesach, but I decide that my crazy... behavior, whatever reason, I'd say I want to eat this, so I'm done what's called achshavei. Achshavei pashas is the Rabban. So the Rabban said you can't go and take something if you've burned, right, fully to charcoal or whatever, or made it not edible before Pesach and eat it on Pesach. That's also mid Rabban. Okay, but minastam, it's okay. Where does this come up? So I don't want to go down this route again, but I mentioned last time medications which are not edible as food, even if they have a coating which makes it slightly easier to swallow, but the actual medication, the binding agents, etc., are not. If you had wheat starch, I'm not going to go through Mamakovis again, but many poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe, Chaznish, they all say that this is not a problem on Pesach. Meaning, as long as you made this pill before Pesach, it would be mutter, lekachela, to eat it, because you're not eating it, there's no achshaveh, you're not eating it as a food, you're swallowing it as a pill. Right? There are many Mamakovis to that, I'm not going down that route. Now, if someone wants to be super machmel on that, there are maybe poskim who would say there's room to be machmel, but certainly that is allowed. Now, one area, a number of products, this leads to a number of products where we have to ask the question, is there room for the hachmel or not? So one, which I feel, and I don't want to be too harsh, but I feel is just a shtus and really is very unfortunate, and a question that comes up every year, which is, that they put up signs that you shouldn't buy any eggs because there's a chashash of chomets in the ink that's on the eggs. Okay, this is unfortunate because of several reasons. Okay, why several reasons? Who am I to say it's a shtus? So first of all, to understand what we're talking about. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, looking in Siman Tov Mem Beis, comes mentioned in Tofman Zayin, but there's a Mefurish Halacha, Shulchan Aruch Erchaim, Tofman Beis Seif Yud, Duyoy, Shehu Mevushal, B'sheiches Oirim, Mutar Lichtov Boi. If you have ink which is cooked in beer, right, proper chametz, you can write with it. What's the shame? Write with it? Okay, first of all, I'm not sure who's writing on Pesach, but let's assume he had a truva to write or something very important he had to write. Okay, so the poskim all say, look in the Chok Yaakov, look in various poskim, it's really from Magen Avraham, bring from the Tzuras Hadeshen, that in days gone by, the sofer or whoever's writing would have a quill, dip it in the ink, and very often, without thinking, put it in his mouth. Right? Even today, some of you might put the pen in the mouth, not advisable. But if you might do that. And so therefore, I might be eating chametz on Pesach. I might dip the quill, put it in the ink, put it in my mouth and eat it. So comes all the poskim, Pe'echod, look at say Be'er Gro, look at everyone. The Mishnah Berurah says, Sif Kotten Mem Hey. Mishnah Berurah says, it's not a problem. Why does it dafka kesha'ochloi bekavana? The only problem of something which is not edible, really, like an ink, is only we do eat it bekavana. Mishnah Berurah says, you've said, this is not really edible, but I want to eat it. So if I want to do it, then I do it b'kavana. Therefore, I've taken it out of the geder, I've taken it out of the classification of not edible, and I've said, I want to eat it, so it's edible. He says, here, where I've got no kavana, there's no kavana. This is something which, as I say, none of the poskim are machmir for, as far as I know. I could be wrong, so I'm happy if people show me otherwise. I have a feeling this is a shaila, whether one's allowed to be machmir, the piskei tshuva in Yerodea Kufta Zayin Sif Yud, I think it is, brings down machlokes about this. Here's something where none of the poskim are machmir for. To you going to say I'm machmir such thing is very questionable, to say the least. Second of all, that's from a metzias perspective. First of all, not all of the inks are. The ink is made from a dye and a binder, and then they add a bit of ethanol. Alcohol. So there's a dye to give you the color. There's a binder to put it all together, various elements, and then they add some alcohol. What's the alcohol there for? The alcohol is not there as an ingredient. The alcohol is there because I want to print this on something and I want it to dry very quickly. I want it to dry immediately. Or you may have seen sometimes where there's a smudge on the egg from the ink. So this alcohol, which by the way does not have to be chometz, it could be ethanol, which could be fermented ethanol or could be synthetic ethanol, or it could be isopropanol, which again is a synthetic. Ethanol is the alcohol that you know, your zeksinantik, your most alcoholic drinks will have what's called ethanol in them. So ethanol is a type of alcohol which can be fermented from a carbohydrate, sugar, wheat, corn, other things, or you could have, say, a synthetic alcohol, as probably from acetone, propene, etc. So you don't know for sure that there is any chametz here. Even at Lo Yitzu, there is any chametz. It's already in an ink before Pesach, and it's not nifsal, and there's no achshaveh. And anyway, it's designed that it should evaporate. Actually, Rav Moshe Nosson Rosenfeld, Dr. Rosenfeld, told me that if you're really starting to worry about eggshells, there's probably more chametz on the actual shell, not the ink, the shell around it, because the chickens eat wheat very often, and then there's sometimes residue of starch on the egg. So you may want to, if you're looking for a chumrah, wash your eggs to rub off it. Again, that's not an action. There is no chiyuv to do that. But if you're looking for chumrah, go wash your eggs thoroughly to make sure you get any residue off, but not the ink. So you'll tell me, okay, Shlomi, you've decided that this is not halacha problem, and but Matthias is not. It's also not a problem. But I'll tell you, shall we say, Unfortunately, where I'm upset about this is because the last several years, there are a number of, shall we say, the Eid Haredis, and I believe the Kehillas Haredim in Paris and in Montreal, these places, and in London, where they say, oh, you've got to use special eggs because the ink may have chashash gomets. Well, one of the major manufacturers, and I know this firsthand, one of the major manufacturers of the ink which gets put on the eggs, actually, I know, uses an ethanol which is chomet stick. So you make up a chumrah, and you tell people you've got to go, and oh, it's a terrible chashash, which, by the way, again, in halacha has no raglayim. You go and make up a fake chumrah, and when you cannot keep the fake chumrah, you still continue to give a heksha on things which have chametz ethanol in them. And what's the reason? Because it evaporates. They're on the egg, and anyway, it's a mute, and it's all the cheshbonos that you make to go somersault, but who told you to make this fake chumrah in the first place? So this is very upsetting, and this is very confusing to people. I think people, you say, Emenon Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im, they understand that this doesn't sound right. And I'll tell you, if I...
count more, it doesn't, then it's good.
And yes, if I was cynical, I would apply the saying of the Satmaru of Zecharin Rocha, who said, Asa b'shvil shetis asha. Right? Sometimes you have to ban something to make a distal gelt. Yid naf panusa. Okay, so... Other such things where, unfortunately, today, where we have this sort of thing, one of them is plastic plates and cutlery. These are things that do not need a heksha. And again, even the most machmir poskim say it's not necessary. The Trus of Hogus, Chereke, Simon Kufchof, Hey, and it's brought from B'Shem Reb Liashim Asher Ish Peik Nun Ches Sif Vov, they say that there's no need for any sort of heksha on these things. The same is true for many other things. I'll just mention two others before I move on, if I have the time, Bechalel. Number one, there is a shaila, and this one is a shaila, which is things which are things like cosmetics. So if you may have a lipstick, or you may have something, probably the most clear example is something called Aveeno. I don't know if you know what Aveeno is. Aveeno is a type of moisturizing cream which has oats in it. Now, I can assure you this is nifsal mechilas kele before Pesach. The question is, I'm now going to smear it on, and do I have it? I have issa hanor? There's no, we already said. Even bekavona, there's no issa hanor. The question is, here it's called sicha, which means I'm smearing it. So I'm not eating it, mamish, but I think. So this is a shaila. So many poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Kli Rishon Perek Dalet, Sif Yud Aleph, Rav Nissen Karetz, Chut Hashani, Pesach, Perek Zayin Ois Dalet, Bar Letzion, Rav Yak, it's brought down Shem, Rav Adi Yosef, Rav Osher Weiss, in his Agoda, in Agoda Shal Pesach, Simon Chof Dalet, and others, many others, they all say this is not an issue, right? It's not an issue, Bechlal, not only, of course, because we don't say Sicha Kishtia only, we only say that by Yom Kippur, it's actually learned in Dinin Truma and other things. We only say by on Yom Kippur we have an issa of sicha. There's five inuyim on Yom Kippur. You're not to eat, not to drink. One of the things you're not to smear rubber oil ointment on Yom Kippur. That's when we have an issue. However, in Pesach there's no sicha kishtia. Secondly, the other point is they say that there's no achshavei by sicha. Meaning we talked before that I can take something from inedible and I can categorize it. I've taken it out of that category because I want to eat it. Therefore, it's now, in the eyes of halacha, edible because I decided that, which is, again, unusual because normally you say botla data it's a das kalodom. You say usually this is inedible. The fact that he's a bit strange and he's eating it isn't to it. But we say it. We say achshavei b'achila. So that's, they say, is only by achila. It's not by sicha. So I can't take something which is non-edible and by smearing it, make it edible. It should go without saying, right, that this then would mean, and I believe that I don't know any real poskim who say that anything like bleach or washing up liquid or any of these things, none of these things are, there's an achshavei b'achilosoi, it's totally mutar b'hanor, there is no tzad chumra that I know of to ask any of these things. These things are actually caustic and very often are horrible and they're much not edible, and I would suggest you rinse it off very thoroughly before you let this on anything, including your plates. If you wash your plates for Pesach, a lot of people now use disposable, but if you do use thing, wash it off very well. This is, there's no tzad that these things need a heksha. There is brought down regarding about sicha, about these types of creams and things, the Rav Liashiv, Kovitz Shuvas Chelik Dalad Erechaim Simon Lamaches, and Shabbos van Hagos Chelik Hei Sif Simen Kuf Chozayin Oisches. They are machmir for this, and okay, each person, that would say the vast majority of poskim say there's no issue, no issue at all. Those who are machmir, okay, so there are some lists, I think, and people can check as much as they can into these things. So if a person's looking for chumrah, again, possibly something like a vino or other such things where you know there's chomets, maybe that would be something to be machmir for. Another one where there is a bit of discussion is paper plates and paper towels. So this is, I think the basis of this chumrah is from the Shulchan Aruch Paskins about begodim shekavsu oisam v'chelev chita. So v'chein neyores shedavko oisam v'chomets v'chein koyetz v'zeh. Mutar kama b'pesach she'ein tzuras v'chomets oimedes. So something where you've added wheat starch to it, you're allowed to keep over Pesach. And then the Ramah says, therefore you're allowed to do it if it's 30 days before Pesach, because by that time it's already, you want to stick paper on windows or things, or you know, stick your children's drawings on the wall, stuff like that. If it's 30 days before Pesach, it's already Nifsal. Now Machmirim, if you can see it outside. Okay, this is a whole discussion in the post game, let's say. If you look in the Moshe Kalim, the Behetev, he summarizes it, and there are those who are Machmir. The Chok Yaakov, he brings the one of Rome, who's Machmir. The Chok Yaakov says, in Kepeda, he says, even when you know there's wheat starch, there's no issue. However, the Mishmaru is, it brings the words of the Magen Avraham, and he is Machmir for this. Mm-hmm. There is a discussion about, so not washing or starching your tablecloths, or possibly there's even a question if women would wear a scarf and you'd starch the scarf. This is a question, and the Prima Garden brings, he says, but if the woman's scarf, which had been starched with real starch, wheat starch, fell into the machal, you don't even need shishim kedei levatel, right? So he says, this is all tznifsa mechiles kelem. Now this is all talking when you've got actual wheat starch, and the worry here, if you look, is that there may be some starch that comes off, a piece will break off and maybe fall into your soup or something like that. When it comes to paper plates and paper towels, first of all, much of the starch, bichlal, is not wheat starch, right? There was, years ago, I think it's Rabbi Chagai Bar Giura and the Rabbanut, years ago we did a search, basically all in Eretz Yisrael, I think all of the companies use potato starch when they use starch. It's obviously wood pulp mostly, it's mostly paper. Any of the starch is bleached beforehand, it's not starch in the normal sense of starch. And as I say, most of these plates have a sort of wax coating, otherwise they would become soggy if you put your food on them. Anyway, some of them do become soggy even if you do put liquid salt. But they have on purpose a coating to stop anything coming off the plate, etc. You don't want hot food going onto a plate and then it giving a taste to your food. And as I said, so first of all, b'metzius, this doesn't really cause an issue, but l'chayra. We're not talking about the same thing as this Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel. But even Lu Yitzuya, I would worry about it. Again, there's no achshavei here. It has to be, I did it b'kavona. We talked about the quill with the chomutz ink on it. I put it in my mouth and I ate it. Right? There has to be an achshavei. I have to do it on purpose. And therefore, there are those who are machme for, as they starch in paper plates and things like in paper towels. However, again, lefi the pashas halacha, mishabrul chaznish, and most poskim, there's no issue here. I'm not going to again. Each person do what their minhag is or whatever. That's for them, but that is something to think about. As I say, these things there's more than enough to rely on. That this is not the klal an issue. Okay, so just I will usually run out of time. And as an example, just to illustrate this, because you think again, I don't want to sound as Rabbi Yehuda Nasir. He was worried to start being matter things. He's based in Sharia. You know, he starts Chas V'Shalom to allow things. There's a Shulchan Aruch in Tof. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Simon Tof Mem Zayin Seif Hey. So it's a long Ramah. The Ramah at the end of that Seif says, talks about a chavis yayin shedavku nasarav bebotzik. So you took a barrel of wood and you wanted to put the slats together. You used a proper chomet, le mahadrim and a mahadrin chomet, and you stuck the barrel together. Okay. So he says, if it's within 2 months, and this is this point about 2 months, there's a whole discussion. The Taz wants to say it's really 1 month, a bit like we said earlier with the paper stuck on the walls. But most poskim, pretty much everyone argues on the Taz very strongly, and they say no, the Ramah is correct because there is a difference between the two. So the Ramah says 2 months. Yeah, if you put your wine within 2 months of Pesach, you did this within 2 months of Pesach, you put your wine in it, so it's a problem, right? It's nois and tam be Pesach, also l'shtoisei, which pashtus, and this is a diuk that it's you're not allowed to drink it, but we wouldn't say it's also b'hano. You just leave it to after Pesach. However, the imnos nu koydim l'kein. Kvar nisyabesh, the ainu nois and tam the Pesach v'shari. So that means the Ramah is saying is if you take a barrel and you put it, you pieced it together, you stuck it together with dough. I'm talking about wheat, chametz, dough, right? And you stuck it together, and you then put your wine in. So as long as it's 2 months before Pesach, you've got no problem. I don't think anyone would give a hechsher to such a thing. Not happening, right? So he says, but if there's a kazayis botzuk, a kazayis in one place, well, then you've got a problem. But if it's spread out, you've got a bit here, a bit there, so that's okay. So, as I say, what's the reason? Again, the chayra, because there's no din achshave here, it's dried out, and that's what it is. So you don't come and take me on a paper plate, which bechalal may not have any starch. And if it does have starch, it may be not non-chomet starch. And if it is, again, it's been bleached in there, so you have to understand how far you're going. Now, again, I'm not... I keep saying it again and again. You ask your own Rav about your Psak Halacha and your Minag, etc. But my point is that this is all very misleading if it's presented as this is the Halacha, right? And anyone who doesn't do this is a bit of a shaygetz. Unfortunately, that's not correct. And I think it's very misleading. And as I will say, more and more people, unfortunately, are really struggling. And Pesach is a very expensive time. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's very interesting that there are certain products that actually are cheaper than Miftsaim before Pesach. Certain things like coffee and grape juice are made for the rabbin. They're made for sometimes millions of people, and they make a special production, but it actually ends up sometimes cheaper than the regular grape juice through the year. However, in England, because we have a smaller kahila and we're relying on other productions elsewhere and sort of what, you know, taking the tail end of those productions, the food here is very, very high, unfortunately. During the year, it's high enough. The inflation is rising and rising, and Pesach is even more. And therefore, I think, whilst, yes, everyone wants, b'nachnu machmirin b'nei machmirin, and everyone wants to make sure they have a chakosh of sameh, you want to make sure everything is a kadas v'din. However, there is a limit to how far you're going to take these things, and therefore, I think it would be, correct to say, al pi halacha, this is not a concern. There is room to be machmir at most. But to present it as, this is a problem, and then people say, oh yes, I've got to go and spend extra money on these things, I think is a terrible thing. I think I'll just end off with one point, which is, again, something that people don't necessarily understand. I think I may have mentioned this in the past, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself. However, I've seen lists with various things like gluten-free foods. And people should understand that gluten-free does not mean chometz-free. Okay, you can't just, again, I don't think any of us would even think, make that equation. However, it is a problem. There are items which are refined to the point where it's not an issue of allergens, of gluten. The most common are things like glucose, dextrose, and these type of things. These things can be chomets. And they are quite ubiquitous, meaning they are in many, many foods. In many foods, you can get many lozenges, many sweets. So we talked about medicines earlier, right? What I was discussing was a dry pill, which doesn't, other than maybe a sugar coating, it's not edible and it doesn't taste nice. But if you get something like possibly a strepsil or a lozenge or something like that, these things can be real chametz. And therefore, you have to not eat them on Pesach, you may have to sell them or be mavar them and destroy them before Pesach. Right? These things, people will be shocked how common they are and pretty much in all foods. Most foods out there have some sort of flavor in. Again, the flavor can have an ethanol carrier, which could be chometz. These things have often, as I say, items, you can go through a whole list of items. When I get approached by companies to do a Pesach run for things which they think should be relatively straightforward, when you go through the ingredients list, you start seeing that it's very, very hard to find things which are really kosher to Pesach. And therefore, whilst it's true, and it's always been the case that very basic things like fruits and vegetables, if you're machmir for labor like a fish, but most things which are plain and simple are straightforward for Pesach. However, when you get processed foods, nash, and these types of things, which more and more people want nash for Pesach, and they want kosher Pesach pizza and all these types of things, right? Someone who wanted kosher Pesach whiskey, right? But they're all these types of things. These things are much more complex, and I've been asked shailas about this heksher, that heksher. I'm not going to comment, but my point is that these things are very, very complex, and you go into your cupboards before Pesach, you would be surprised what's in there. You wouldn't think it has a shail of chometz. It can have a shail of chometz, and therefore one has to be careful. On the one hand, we don't want to be taking new chumras, which lo shamanu me'olam, and making up new things. On the other hand, we also want to be very careful, and we shouldn't just assume you can have a fruit in a syrup, and you don't know it's got actually proper chometz in it, right? Because it's got glucose in it, and it can be chometz. So there are things here which, when you think about a fruit, tin of fruit, what could be wrong? It could be chometz. So not to be too machmeh, off the page of the Shulchan Aruch, far out, and not to be too mekel either, not to be careful. And Mitzvah Shem, if we learn the halachas and we ask shailas, etc., Mitzvah Shem, we'll be zeicher to chag kosher v'sameach, afreirichen, and kosher and Pesach.
Thank you.